Well, good morning. Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. What a glorious day today is. Glorious time of worship. Mark chapter 4, verse 35, message I've entitled Storms this morning. Let's pray. Lord, lift up your people this morning and give them courage. Lord, no matter what we might be facing, no matter how dark the storm may be, no matter how difficult the trial may be, lift up the countenance of your people. Give us insight. Give us perspective. Give us victory in and through every tribulation we face. Use our lives for your glory. Draw us closer to yourself. Touch each heart. You know exactly what every single person in this room is going through right now. And you can give that victory. Lord, we seek to understand your word by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There are some crazy people on this planet that refer to themselves as storm chasers. Those people are crazy. These people love storms. They chase after storms. Their goal is to get as close to storms as possible. These are the ones you see on TV taking footage of tornadoes up close, taking video footage of hurricanes in the surf with the palm trees bending behind them, debris flying by their head. They're crazy people, aren't they? Now, somebody somewhere thinks that it's important for somebody to do that so we can understand storms better. But that somebody ain't going to be me. I don't run toward tornadoes or hurricanes. I run the other way, don't you? But people go after storms. There are many storms in life that you can't run from. There are many storms in life that you can't avoid. And I'm talking about the personal storms in our lives. Difficulties, hardships, setbacks, pain, suffering. Those are things that we try to run from. Those are things that we try to avoid at all costs, but you can't. And in fact, every single one of us in this room will face many storms. And every one of us in this room will face big, ugly storms. It's a part of life. Somebody once said there are three positions in life. You're either in the midst of a storm or coming out of a storm or about to enter a storm. That's a bit too pessimistic for me, but the point is taken. Storms, they come into our lives. Job chapter 14 verse 1 says, "Man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble." Jesus said in John chapter 16, "In the world you will have tribulation." So we need to be ready for the storms. We need to be prepared for them. And we have a wonderful passage before us this morning to teach us about these things as the disciples go through a storm. Look at verse 35 of Mark chapter 4. Wonderful passage in the scripture. It says, "On the same day, when evening had come, he," Jesus, "said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, And the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Sea of Galilee is a beautiful place to visit. I've had the privilege of sailing on the Sea of Galilee 5 times. It's always a tour highlight when we visit the land of Israel. The Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long by 7 miles wide in its widest spot. It's shaped like a harp. In fact, the Old Testament refers to that sea as the Sea of Kinnereth, which means harp in Hebrew. It's 160 feet deep, and the shoreline of the sea is 680 feet below sea level. So think of a basin going down inland. The sea is surrounded by multiple hillsides. The locals call them mountains. And there's these narrow valleys in between all of the hillsides. Beautiful thing. Beautiful place. But when the wind intensifies in that region, things can get very ugly very quickly. You see, the wind comes down into the basin, creating a downdraft. And the wind whips through the narrow valleys, which act like wind tunnels. And so the wind can come in and just bombard that ocean. And at one moment it's calm, and a few moments later you're in a squall on the sea. The waves can rise to 24 feet. Very dangerous on that sea. In fact, I asked a tour guide once if he'd ever been on the Sea of Galilee when a storm like that has come. And he said yes, and he never wants to experience it again. Very dangerous. Well, this is the storm that the disciples and Jesus encounter, only it's more intense. They've gotten in the boat. They're out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. It's nighttime. And all of a sudden, this storm. And look at the language that's used in verse 37. It says, a great windstorm. Megas in the Greek. Mega. Windstorm translated hurricane, tempest, whirlwind. It was a mega monster storm. It tells us in verse 37 that the waves were beating into the boat and it was already filling up with water. And all this is taking place at night, which was very rare on the Sea of Galilee. So they're running blind. There's no moonlight. There's no starlight. They're rocking. The wind's blowing. They're taking in water. These disciples were scared to death. They thought for sure they would drown. And keep in mind that those disciples, most of them, grew up on the Sea of Galilee as fishermen. They'd been on that sea their whole life. They've even encountered storms before. But nothing like this storm. This was a whopper. This was something that utterly terrified them. And so there are storms just like that that can come into our lives. Suddenly, these ferocious things. Isn't it crazy how life can be so calm at one moment? And a moment later, everything goes nuts. It only takes a moment. It only takes a phone call. You get a phone call. The tests come back from the doctor. It's not good. You get a phone call. There's been an accident. You get a phone call. The boss wants to see you. You get news. Maybe your spouse comes and says, you know, I don't love you anymore and I want a divorce. Maybe you get word that your spouse has been seeing somebody else. Maybe you open a letter and an application has been denied and one of your dreams comes crashing down. And all of these emotions, all of these fears, just like the disciples experienced on that boat so many years ago, you begin to feel. You're terrified. You're confused. Your whole world changes. Maybe some of you are going through that right now. And you feel like, you know, I'm going blind here. I'm rocking all over the place. The waves are coming in. Tough place to be. Where do these storms come from? When you're going through a storm in life, do you ever wonder, where's it coming from? What's the source of that storm? Well, I'd like to give you four possibilities, four explanations. Did you know it's possible for Satan to bring storms into your life? Did you know that the devil, the enemy, can attack from the front and can sometimes bring these storms into our lives in order to discourage us and disrupt us? It is very possible, we don't know for sure, but it's very possible that this storm on the Sea of Galilee was satanically influenced. And I say that because I want you to see how Jesus spoke to the storm. Look at verse 39. It says, then he arose and rebuked the wind. Usually that word rebuked is used in rebuking a person. A being. And oftentimes in the Gospels, that word is used when Jesus is rebuking demons. He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. Literally, put a muzzle on it. Be muzzled and stay muzzled. Be quiet. This again is how Jesus has spoken to demons, casting demons out of people. In fact, in Mark chapter 1, there's that story of the demon-possessed man in the synagogue service. And Jesus literally says, it says in Mark chapter 1, Jesus rebuked him saying, be quiet and come out. Almost the identical phrase that he uses here. So it's very possible that this storm was satanically influenced. This is Satan trying to drown Jesus and the disciples. A frontal attack. Well, Jesus wasn't all that worried, was he? He's sleeping in the boat. And he just gets up and yawns and says, I rebuke you, right? And takes care of that. But I want you to know that that can be where storms come from. We have an enemy. If you're a born-again Christian, you have an enemy who doesn't want you witnessing, who doesn't want you fruitful, who wants you distracted. Peter told us in 1 Peter chapter 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you got to discern that. Are there storms in your life? Is it spiritual warfare? You know, I've experienced that before in my life. Where I know that Satan was doing a frontal attack on me and my enemy as I was in the ministry. I can remember when we very, very young, we first started the church. I was working as an engineer and I had a young family. And we were planning the church and starting the church. It seemed like the craziest night of every week was Saturday night. And Saturday nights are very important for preachers. Because they're getting ready to share messages Sunday morning. And I can remember the kids would sleep through the night every night except Saturday night. If anything ever broke down in my house, it happened on Saturday night. If anybody got sick, it happened on Saturday night. There were times I'd come to Sunday half awake because of being up all night on Saturday night. And you know what? Kim and I finally said, you know what? This isn't right. This is happening too regularly. And so we began to pray and cover our house. Began to pray against. And you know, still to this day, Saturday nights can be very crazy. If you ever pray for me, pray for Saturday night. There have been times where I've been asked to speak at a big crusade or at a men's conference or something, and God's going to do an amazing work, and lo and behold, something will happen that week. You know, these storms can come. You may be very effective in ministry. You may be stepping out, wanting to witness, wanting to change your world for Jesus Christ. And you think, wow, this is going to be awesome, and I got the wind at my back, but you know what? You're also a target. A man by the name of Stephen Lawson wrote a book in 1995. Wonderful title. When All Hell Breaks Loose, You May Be Doing Something Right. You discern that. And you pray. And you get other brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for you. This could have been satanically influenced, although we don't know for sure. Now, storms can also come from other places. You can't blame every storm on the devil. Storms can also be the consequences of just living in a fallen world. You know, Christian or non-Christian, we live in a fallen world, right? And in a fallen world, people get sick. People die. People sin. All kinds of pain and suffering can happen in a fallen world. All of that to remind us that this isn't our home. Job says, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. That's the fallen world, the fallen nature. And so there may be storms that we face in this life that you can just attribute to that. And we need to endure through that. Knowing that God is taking us on a journey. And one day we will go to the promised land where there's no more storms. Third, some storms are self-made. Sometimes we disobey the Lord, don't we? And when a person disobeys the Lord, when a person starts engaging in some kind of a sinful lifestyle, they can create storms for themselves all by themselves. Many times that can happen. You get off the narrow path. You create a mess. And it's a mess of your own making. That is absolutely possible. Great example is a prophet by the name of Jonah in the Old Testament. Do you remember his story? God said, Jonah, I got an assignment for you. I want you to go preach to the Ninevites. And Jonah said, I understand clearly. And he went the wrong direction. He got on a boat. He tried to sail away. And what happened to him? A storm and a fish. Boy, what a downward path he went. And it was a storm of his own making. Don't forget the law of sowing and reaping. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit of the Spirit will reap everlasting life. So maybe you've been irresponsible at work. Maybe you've been lazy at work. And you get a pink slip. And you say, oh, it's a storm. It's a storm of your own making. Oh, I'm losing my health. I'm getting a disease. But you're ingesting stuff that you know you shouldn't. It's a storm of your own making. Storms can be self-made. And if you find yourself in a storm as a result of choices that you're making, you know what you need to do? You need to repent. You need to turn to the Lord. You need to repent from those ways and let God restore you. So Satan, fallen nature, sinful choices. There's a fourth source of storms. And you know what that is? God. Did you know that God Himself can send you into a storm? Sometimes God sends us directly into storms. Sometimes He tests us. He tested Abraham. One of the greatest tests ever. Sacrifice your son, your only son, Isaac. He tested Paul the Apostle. He, in a sense, is testing the disciples here in this storm on the Sea of Galilee. He'll test them again later on that same sea. God, at times, intentionally leads us into storms. And you say, well, why would He do that? He's got wonderful things that He wants to accomplish in our lives through storms. And understand this very carefully. God will never send you into a storm to destroy you. He will always send you into a storm to develop you, to grow you, to mature you, so that He can use you more fully in the rest of your life here, as you look forward to a life where there won't be any more storms. So how did the disciples do? What was their reaction? They freaked out, didn't they? Loose paraphrase, these guys utterly freaked. They utterly lost control. They became utterly panic-stricken. They lost all control of their emotions. They lost it completely. That's not how we should react. Look what Jesus says to them in verse 40. But He said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Now that almost seems like an insensitive thing to say, doesn't it? And this gives you the impression that God is not pleased whenever we're afraid. And yet here's a storm that makes you afraid. And you can't help feeling afraid. What is Jesus saying here? Well, I want you to I learned something this week that I've never known before. There's a beautiful thing going on here. And it's very important for us to understand. The Greek word that's used most often for fear in the New Testament is the word phobias. You recognize that word? Phobia. It means being legitimately afraid. Having something that terrifies you and that makes you afraid. Jesus doesn't use that word here. So He's not saying, "Why are you afraid at a storm that would naturally cause you to be afraid?" He's using another Greek word that only shows up four times in the New Testament, delos. Four times. Very rare. It's a word that means to be afraid. But it's speaking more of a cowardly fear. Cowards. And so what Jesus is saying is, what's wrong with you guys? Why are you acting like cowards? Again, that sounds even more insensitive, doesn't it? But I want you to understand, this is so beautiful. Apparently, in storms, there are two types of fears. There's that fear that comes that you can't help. The confusing fear. Oh, the one that makes you afraid. But it would appear that there is a courageous fear and a cowardly fear. And the difference between those two fears is faith. See, Jesus says to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" The disciples were not exercising any faith. They're not moving in faith. They're not acting in faith. They've thrown faith out the window. And because there's no faith, they're acting like cowards. If they had faith, if they were exercising faith, they'd still be afraid of the storm, but their fear would be a courageous fear, a fear that inspires hope, courage. I have faith. That's very important. Paul wrote a verse I think that many of us are familiar with, 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." How many of you have heard that verse before? Isn't that a beautiful verse? I've gotten a lot of mileage on that verse. God has not given us a spirit of fear. And yet there's been times in my life where I thought, you know, I don't know how to obey that verse. Because there's been times in my life where I've been afraid. And that verse again sort of gives you the impression, you're afraid. What's wrong with you? You know what Greek words used there? Delos. Delia. What he's saying is God has not given us a spirit of cowardly fear. The fear that people have when they're exercising no faith. Listen. Storms are scary. They make us afraid, genuinely afraid. But when a storm comes in your life, you don't throw faith out the window. And that's what lots of Christians do. The storm comes and they throw faith out the window. I don't believe in this God stuff anymore. You need to understand that in the storm, that is the time to exercise faith. That is when you hold on to God. A storm comes in your life and you say, yes, this is scary, but I'm a man of God. I belong to the family of God. Christ died on the cross for my sins. I'm covered in His blood. He's promised He will never leave me or forsake me. And you grab onto that and you hold onto that. You grab it by faith, and you know what? That'll give you a courageous fear. Not a cowardly fear. You understand? In the storm, you need faith. And in this storm, the disciples had no faith. Notice else their reaction. Look what they say to him in verse 38. "But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" What are the disciples doing there? They're questioning God's care. They're saying, "Jesus, don't you care about us? How could you be sleeping? How can you be so disinterested in our lives at this time while we're drowning to death?" They're questioning God's care. They're questioning His concern. They're questioning His love. And unfortunately, that is what many of us tend to do when we get in a storm. You get in this storm, this situation that you've never experienced, and your world gets turned upside down, and you sort of say, "God, what are you doing?" You begin to question His love for you. His care for you. He's, "God, are you really interested? God, are you there? Are you concerned?" And we begin to doubt what we know to be absolutely true about God is. And you know what we know what to be absolutely true about God? He is a good God all the time. And God loves you. Nobody could love you any more than God. And nobody could care for you any more than God. And nobody's more concerned about your life than God. You say, but I'm going through this storm and I don't see much. He's there and He sees you. And that's what you got to hold on to by faith. If you have no faith, then you begin to get even more and more afraid as you allow all these doubts. But by faith you claim. By faith you remember. By faith you take hold of the promises of God. And you remember, God has promised I'll never leave you or forsake you. And I promise you, no matter what storm we're going through in life, if we belong to Jesus Christ, He will take us through. There will be victory. And you hold on to that with everything you got. It's the big difference between us and the rest of the world. We have a Savior to hang on to. Major John Andre wrote a poem entitled Sovereign Love, and one stanza reads, should sevenfold storms of thunder roll and shake this globe from pole to pole, no thunderstorm can daunt my face, for Jesus is my hiding place. He will be your hiding place, your rock. Now, we get in the storm. We hopefully begin to react in a mature way to the storm. Did you know that there are many benefits that come from a storm? There are incredible things that God does in our life through storms. And one of the most beautiful things that happens when you go through a storm is that you begin to get this brand new understanding and appreciation of God and who He is and what He can do. You begin to get understanding of God that you would not be able to get apart from a storm. You get a whole new appreciation and understanding of the peace of God. The supernatural peace of God. The Bible says it's a peace that you can't even explain. It's something that you can only experience. And in a storm, God will give you peace. I love the peace that's exhibited by Jesus in this story. Sleep. Isn't that the craziest detail of the whole passage? Do you picture this boat? Wind, surf, spray, noise. All the disciples are freaking out. Camera pans in on Jesus. I'll bet they talked about that for years. I'll bet the disciples said, years later, looking back, and he was asleep. Look at the peace. By the way, that's a good proof. It's more evidence of the incarnation. Jesus was fully human. And you know what? He was plumb tuckered out in that boat. He'd had a long day of ministry and he was exhausted and he fell asleep. But even more than that, he knew that he was safe in the Father's care. He was at peace. And I'm telling you, that same peace can be given to us in the midst of a storm. Everything's rocking. Everything's moving. All kinds of crazy, confusing things, maybe even running blind. But as you depend upon Christ, and as you exercise that faith in Christ, He will give you peace. In a storm, you also get a whole new understanding of the power of Christ. I mean, in a storm, you're holding on and God needs to move, right? And He does move. And you begin to appreciate His power so much more in your life. The disciples got a whole new perspective on the power of Christ through this storm. You see, up to this point, they've seen Jesus do miracles. They've seen Him heal people. They've seen Him heal lepers. They've seen Him heal paralytics. They've seen Him do all kinds of things. They've seen Him cast out demons. But up to this point, they'd never seen Jesus have the power over nature. That hadn't been seen yet. And here, He has the power over nature. This is one of the most amazing miracles that Christ did. Notice it says again in verse 39, "Then He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.'" And it says, "The wind ceased and there was a great calm." The tense of those verbs mean it was immediate. There wasn't a dying down of the waves. It was calm. There wasn't a dying down of the wind. It was calm. At the word, the very word of Jesus Christ, it's like an invisible hand came up and blocked that wind and pushed down on those waves. And you had glass. It was immediate and everyone went, whoa. And in so doing, Christ was showing that He has the authority over nature. He's God. And they took one look at that and they said, "Who is this guy? What manner of man is this guy?" And they would never have seen that power if they hadn't gone through that storm. And let me tell you, when you go through a storm and you get a sense of that power, your appreciation for God's power becomes greater. In the storm, you will come to a fuller, more greater appreciation of our powerful God. Because He'll pull you through. You know, it's interesting. We go about our busy days, and a lot of times we're driving around traffic, and you'll hear a siren, right? A medical worker comes blazing by you, or you see an accident on the side of the road, and we see it every day. And we think, man, those are great people. Awesome, they do great work. But imagine how much greater your appreciation will be for those people when you're in the accident. And they come to you. And then you begin to all of a sudden remember, boy, these guys and gals have been around doing this all the time. Look what they do. But you don't understand it until you actually experience it. And I believe that's the same way with God. You don't know how powerful He is until you experience His power to get you through a storm. And again, I will tell you, He will walk you through that storm. You get a whole new appreciation in a storm for the faithfulness of Christ. You get a whole new appreciation for the promises that He makes. What did He say in verse 35? "On the same day when evening had come, He said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.'" Did He say, "Let us go die a horrible death and go to our watery graves"? No, what did He say? He said, "Disciples, get on this boat. We're crossing." And when Jesus says, "We're going to cross," you cross. That was a promise. And maybe the disciples forgot that promise. You know, Many of us have been Christians here for a long time, and we know promises in Scripture. But unfortunately, a lot of us only know them in theory. In a storm, they leave theory, and they become reality. And you take ownership. And you grow. The Bible says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You're with me. We know. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. We know about the peace of God. Good things that come out of a storm. You also come to a completely new understanding of God Himself. You get to know Him better. It's interesting how they refer to Him at the end of verse 38. They woke Him and said to Him, Teacher. You get that? Teacher. Rabbi. What do they say at the end? Who can this be? From teacher to, whoa. Look at this God that I serve. And it even says that they feared Him exceedingly. After the whole event, they're more afraid than they were at the beginning. Think about that. When you get to a point in life when you fear God more than any other storm, look out. Now you're ready to go. Job was tested more than anybody else on the planet. I can't think of anybody else who went through a greater storm than Job. Can you? Everything that he experienced. And at the end of that horrible experience, towards the end of the book, he says this in Job chapter 42. Speaking to God, he says, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. From hearing only to now seeing. A greater understanding of the Lord. Great benefits. The Bible says that these trials, these tribulations, they make us stronger. They make us stronger. They make our faith stronger. We need them. And we need to learn how to react appropriately in the midst of them. We need to learn the lessons through them. We need to learn what it means to have that courageous fear. If there were no storms in our lives, we'd stay babies. Kent Hughes said, the fact is we would be spiritual pygmies, insufferably self-centered, proud, and empty people. Without adversity. So we need to embrace these storms. James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Isn't that funny? Be happy. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Embrace them. Learn from them. Understand God's going to get you through everyone. Back in 1951, comedian Red Skelton and a party of friends flew to Europe where Skelton was to appear at the London Palladium. As they were flying over the Swiss Alps, three of the airplane's engines failed. The situation looked very grave, and the passengers began to pray. Skelton went into one of his best comic routines to distract them from the emergency as the plane lost height, coming closer and closer to the ominous-looking mountains. At the last possible moment, the pilot spied a large field among the slopes and made a perfect landing. Skelton broke the release silence by saying, "Now, ladies and gentlemen, you may return to the evil habits you gave up 20 minutes ago." And you know what? That's what a lot of people do in the face of a storm. They never learn the lesson. You got to learn the lesson. You need to be stronger for the next storm. And so you can help others who are going through storms. I want to encourage any Christian here this morning, my brother and sister, if you're going through a storm, I want you to understand God is with you. Do you see it from the text? He hasn't left you. He hasn't abandoned you. And you need to reach out to Him by faith. Hold on to Him. God is going to get us through the storms. And ultimately, you could look at this whole life as a journey on a boat. And there's clear patches and there's stormy patches. But you know what? Eventually, we take port in heaven. He is going to see us all the way through. I want to encourage you. After this service, if you need some leaders in this church, that we stand with you in the storm that you're facing. We want to pray with you and for you. I think it's important that all of us as Christians stay storm ready. Seeking the Lord. Being ready. Also, a storm in life can become a great opportunity for a person to come to Christ. And that may be describing some of you this morning. You know, there's a person that thinks they don't need God. They don't have any, you know, and life is just cruising along for them. But all of a sudden, the bottom drops out. And a very successful or self-confident person might, all of a sudden, they're on their back. And they have no place to look but up. God's put you there. Use this opportunity. Give your life to Christ. Surrender your life to Him. We can't make it through without Him. We need Him. You need Him. You know, I mentioned storm chasers at the beginning of this message. There's a young man by the name of Matt Hughes, 30 years old, had a wife and two sons. He was a storm chaser. In fact, he was a star on the Discovery Channel show entitled Storm Chasers. And this guy, over 15 years, chased 100 tornadoes, had close encounters with storms and did videos. And from the outside of his life, everything looked amazing. Professionally, he had everything going. But did you know that he had some personal storms in his life? And we don't know all the details of what he was facing. But in May of 2010, he attempted to kill himself by hanging. Failed in doing so, but 10 days later died as a result of that attempt. And I just think it's amazing that this guy who chased storms couldn't manage the personal storms in his own life. If only Matt had known Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Have you given your life to Jesus? Let him in the boat. Let's bow our heads. Father, speak. Draw people into a relationship with you. First, Lord, I want to pray for those of us who sit here right now going through these storms. I pray for great encouragement. I pray, Lord, that you would lift up the countenances of those that are hurting. Fill us with hope. There is hope. I ask, Lord, that we would be all strengthened in our faith. Lord, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who does not know you. If you may be here this morning and life has bottomed out and you're seeking and God's got your attention, and maybe people have been sharing the good news with you for months, weeks. And God has been working in your life to bring you to a point where you give your life to Him. Let Him in your heart. Invite Him. You can do it through a prayer right now. Say, Lord Jesus, be my Savior. I surrender my life to you. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, rising again. By faith, I receive you. Take over my life. Navigate my life. I give it all to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me?